You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Just a few thoughts I want to share with you tonight that I think is really important. One of the things that we as a church need to recognize and need to really, really understand is that, you know, I have talked to so many people about, you know, wanting a sense of purpose in life, wanting a sense of direction. Direction and purpose in life really is blurry when you're not in God. Because life doesn't actually make sense outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It really doesn't make sense. Because here's the thing. Whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, you're going to have problems. Right? And whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you're going to have all kinds of issues, whether it's money, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's something else. But being a Christian and having the Word of God and the Spirit of God in you gives a lot of clarity in being able to deal with situations in life. It gives perspective. Someone asked me just recently, we were at a conference, you know, how I dealt with certain pain of being a pastor. Some of you think, well, it's what a prestigious job. No, you're never in pain, right? Okay. But the reality is pain is not just normal, but it's constant in life. You will feel pain in some sort of way. You're going to have high days, you're going to have low days. You know, this is just the way life is. Life and its environment, the way life kind of treats you doesn't change much when you become a Christian. So someone said to me once, if you became a Christian, God is going to make your life better. And I discovered that my life actually did not get better, but what got better was the way I saw life. Because I realized that life no longer dictates the way I live or the way I feel, but I have a sense of, what's the word, you know, a sense of, I don't like to use the word transcendence, but it's probably the best word for it. You have a sense where you're you know, where when you're not in Christ, you're kind of beaten down by life at every end. But when you understand that Jesus Christ Himself and the whole gospel is about people who have overcome life, and that the faith that we have is what causes us to overcome. It's not some just mystical power. It is the Spirit of God in us and the faith that we have in Him. Amen. You can say amen. You're in church. All right. And so when I became a Christian, it wasn't just because, you know, I grew up in the slums in Manila. And when I got saved, when I became, you know, a believer in Jesus, I woke up, I was still in the slums. People were still dying around me. Violence increased. And you know, I've just come back from the Philippines in our church there. James has been there. And Clayton, you've been there with me, right? And, you know, and Tristan has been there. You guys have been there. You and, where's Rick? He's in the back. All right. And what happened was that, you know, I went there and I realized as I came in there almost like an outsider teaching and helping. We did a feeding program. We're doing a few things there right now that's really going to really revolutionize that little community where there's so much poverty and violence and drugs and all that kind of stuff. So what happens is I get some pictures that I posted on Facebook where they don't even have the kid. There's no kids' church room. They're meeting in the stairwell, and the stairwell is loaded with kids wanting to know more about God. And it was hot like crazy. There's no air conditioning, man. It was hot. You know, all the electric fans were doing was blowing more heat to you. It was so bad, right? Asia, love it, right? What I realized is that you got all these kids and all these young people there, all these older people praising God, worshiping God, filled with joy. And then a few days later, I get back on the plane. I get fed beautiful plane food. If you like plain food, right? I could order anything I wanted from the stewardess throughout the whole flight. And then those kids that were so happy, and our preacher were so glad to see me, and we gave him little bags of rice to take home. They go on with life as per normal with the same challenges that they woke up to, and they still believe in God, and their circumstance hadn't really changed. Their parents are still unemployed. There's still sickness. Some of their parents are still dying. Some get healed miraculously. Sometimes God just provides miraculously. And what I realized when I discovered throughout my years as a Christian is that it's not really our environment or our circumstance that determines our faith. And if you as a Christian are always tossed around by what's happening around you, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, when you falter in the day of adversity, then small is your faith, or weak is your faith. God's calling us to a strong faith. I said God's calling us to a strong faith. We're living in a day and age where people give up too easily. But God is calling us to never, never shrink back. Amen? Amen? How many of you have a life statement? Put your hand up if you have a life statement. Do you have a life statement? A few of you? You got a life statement. I'm not going to ask you what it is. But a life statement, I think, is really important. Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, tells us his life statement. He said this, and I know you've heard me say this before, but I just really believe that God really wants us to have a life statement. And a life statement is not just some kind of something that motivates you, but it's something that is so deeply connected to the purposes of God in your life. And let me tell you something about the purpose of God. The purpose of God is not about you. It's always about somebody else. The purpose of God is not about you feeling good. It's not about you feeling like you're on top of the world. It's about you, in while you're feeling like that, others could be encouraged, others could be blessed. God didn't call me for me. God called me for somebody else. Right? The whole idea of Christianity is about giving yourself selflessly. Not selfishly, but selflessly. Now here's what Paul says. This is his life statement. And I love this because it's so open-ended. And it's so filled with so much humility. And yes, with so much confidence at the same time. Right? And it's also filled with such incredible expectation of the future. But also it's filled with so much kind of sort of weakness and understanding of one's limitations. How do you do that? But for some reason, he's able to do that. Look at this. He says, not that I have already attained, or am I already made perfect. Right? How many of you know that Christianity is not perfect? Only 4 of you. The rest of you must be perfect. The biggest lie that's gone out there to the world is that Christians don't make mistakes, or that Christians look down on everybody else that makes mistakes. You see, we in as believers have also believed a lie that we've got to be perfect before God could accept us. But the reality is that Jesus didn't come for those who are well, but he came for those who are sick. The more sick we are, whether it's emotional or whether it's physical, the more we need a Savior. Did you realize that? The more in trouble I am, if I could just call out to God, the more I need Him and the more I'm going to experience God in my life, no matter how low my life gets. And this is what He said, not I have already been made, I've already attained perfection. I've said this to the youth one time. I said, hey, listen, I don't want to be the church, the kind of church that think that you have to be good to be part of this church. And over the years, I have found Christianity had become a little bit harsh when people go through hard times and shoot the wounded, you know, and judge others. But the reality of the love of God is that God is okay when you're not okay. Did you get that? When your life is not going the way some prosperity preachers have been preaching it should be going, God is okay with you. I remember I stumbled into the prosperity preaching years and years ago. And I remember reading this, and it really, I kind of reacted to it. They said, you know, if you really truly are a Christian, you'll never be sick. If you're truly a Christian, you'll never experience poverty. I said to myself, I grew up in poverty and sickness. I grew up in violence. I grew up with death around me, and they were the Christians. I grew up with Christians being persecuted and beaten up for their faith. I don't think this guy's ever come out of his room. He's talking like he's never seen life. You see, Paul said it's not perfection that God is looking for. It is a heart that is open to him. And he says, but I press on. Say it, I press on. Say it again, I press on. But Paul is saying, I'm never giving up. He's saying, I just can't seem to reach the place where God wants me to be, this level I'm supposed to be, but I'm just going to keep pressing and pressing and pressing until I get there, even if it kills me. But if it killed him, he'll be in heaven, so he'll make it anyway. So he's good either way. But he says, while he's alive on the earth, see, I press on, he says, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What he's saying is this: I did not come to know God so I could die and go to heaven. There's a reason why I'm still alive. I'm going to tell you something. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a reason why you're alive. Say that to somebody. There's a reason why you're still here. And I'm saying to you tonight, there's a reason why you are here in this particular place, at this particular point in time, listening to me rant. You may not think so, but there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that God loves you so much that you need to hear something that could potentially change your life. Paul says, I don't have what it takes to do this. But for some reason, when he got to know God, God took hold of him. Paul is saying, I'm no longer my own. I don't have ownership of my life. God's got ownership of me now, but there's a reason for that. That why I'm still alive, after all that he's done in his life, there's a reason for my living on the earth. And it's beyond just going to heaven. Because I used to think that Christianity was just about just going to heaven. You know, if that's the case, you know, you come to know Jesus and you die straight away. But that's not the case at all. Because we have a job to do. We have work to do. Our life matters to God, not only when we get to heaven, but while we're on earth. Your life matters to somebody else. Your life matters to your kids. Your life matters to your wife. Come on. Your life matters to your husband. Your life matters to the people around you. Your life matters to somebody you're walking down the street. You know, how many times have I seen so much pain and I was able to help in some sort of way? It's not because I'm special. It's just at that point in time, I was there to be able to help. If you start to recognize that your life matters to God and it matters to the people that you touch, guess what? Your life will begin to change. You're going to start to see people differently. Your life matters. Have you ever had a phone call from somebody because they're just, you know, so upset, so depressed, and they called you up? How many of you had that call from a friend? You know why they called you? Because your life matters. Your life, and if you have the wisdom of God, how much more does it matter to somebody else? As Paul says, he says in verse 12, continue on, he says in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, listen to this, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In verse 14, he says these words again, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's his life statement. Right through scriptures, there's many, many verses that you can use as your life statement.
maybe you can simplify it, you know, as to what really, you know, you find God's called you. And here Paul talked about his limitation as a human being. He talked about his weaknesses and what he is incapable of doing. But one thing, you recognize this, at the center of this whole thing, he says, this is about what Jesus has taken hold of me. And I may not understand all of it. I may not know all of it. But he's taken hold of my life for something greater than I can imagine, than I can understand. Just that idea alone could change your life. Think about it. And it's not about your greatness or your sense of ego and or anything like that. It's about your life making a difference while you're alive. It's really that simple. And sometimes making a difference is not what you think it is. I used to think, when I was much younger, and I got wind of what ministry was and about preaching, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if, you know, you're in front of thousands of people and you're just telling them about Jesus. That would be the coolest thing ever, wouldn't it? That would be the coolest thing ever. But as you progress through life, you realize that the coolest thing ever is making a difference in one person's life. Is that your life continually is making a difference wherever you go. That you don't need a platform. That you don't need to be seen. You're just making a difference with whoever you meet. Can you imagine what would happen to church if everybody started to make a difference when they go to work, when they go to school? Their life just makes a difference. And they don't have to carry on about ramming the Bible in people's throats. It's just being who they are and just genuinely caring for people and loving people. Imagine what will happen. Maybe people will start coming to church because church is a place where people can feel accepted. A place where it's okay to not be okay. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? I got some mess in my life, but hey, I can go to church because God's there, and no matter what my mess is, He can take care of it. Come on, somebody. That it's okay to make mistakes in church. Are you there? We've just come back from a conference, and there was a pastor there that is so left field, not left wing, but he's so left off center. He said he determines the success of his church by the number of cigarette butts in his ashtray outside of his church. Because the more cigarette butts is there, that is, the more people are coming to the church that are completely unchurched. Is that pretty cool or what? Huh? See, church is a place to welcome those who don't know Jesus. You know, as we wind this year down, church, I want you to really consider that. And I really, we were here Friday, and the Conquerors were here, and didn't they do a great job, huh? You know, that was wild, man, breaking those stacks of bricks. And they did accept that the Australian bricks are tougher than the American bricks. So I don't know who stacked them. So they can break through about 10 of those, you know, pavers. But in Australia, they can only do 6. But I think they put 10 there for them. So I don't know who did that, but it was. But anyway, that's still pretty mean, isn't it? But as I saw them off today. You know, they're going to miss her in the north side now. But you know, as we were here, and I saw so many folks here that I didn't know on Friday nights. In fact, so many people from our church didn't make it. I could count a handful of our church members here, but I wasn't upset about it. But I know who you are. I took a roll call. Don't worry. No. But it's amazing when you're living in grace, God shows you what He sees rather than what you see. And the Lord said to me, this is about the harvest. That the future of church is about people coming in and feeling like they can come into the church. Amen. I was just so excited because there were so many people I didn't know that didn't know me. And I think that's just so awesome. Because that's what Jesus is looking for. You know, if we can introduce people to Jesus, man, we'll change the city. All right? We'll change the city. So would you just bow your heads for a few moments? I just want to pray for you. Just want to ask for your response tonight and in this moment while there's just quietness and just close your eyes because I want you to just think about your life and what that means to you, but what do you think your life means to God? Whether you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, it really doesn't matter because the question is the same. Whether you've been a Christian for a long time, you're a new believer, it doesn't really matter because the question is still the same. Because still to this day, Christians live lives with no direction. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Ask God this question. God, what's my purpose in you? Why am I here? What you've called me to do? And that is such an important question because God called you to make a difference. God called you to affect somebody else's life in your own way, in the way that He's wired you. And let me just pray this prayer tonight. And I wonder how many of you tonight say, hey Ted, I want to open my heart to start knowing what God has for me. If that's you, just lift one hand. Say, yeah, I'm going to start seeking Him. Like Paul said, I'm going to keep pressing. Even if life gets tough, I'm going to keep pressing forward. That's because I know there's something. If that's you, just put your hand up. Just say, hey, that's me. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a commitment to that. That's awesome. God knows what's in your heart. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for your touch, Lord, that you'd reveal yourself to each and every one of us, oh God, in a new way. But God, that you would show us in our life this great sense of significance that can only be found in you. Not in what we do, not in our achievements, but in who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.